May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So this is a short test. I don't know how many of you noticed I slipped out and back in again during the readings. Did anybody notice that? Anybody know why? What's that? Said by a priest. As I said the other day at the 8 o'clock service a couple of weeks ago, I don't know what's gotten into me. I said there's a reason that the sacristy is really close to where the priest is serving. If you need something, it's easy to get. It wasn't because I was just continuing to remove layers. Okay. Well, back in the Midwest, where Dave and I come from, and in some other regions of the country, most notably in the Southeast and the South, college football is a big deal at this time of year when the season is just getting underway. The intensity of the fans' allegiance is amazing. Competition is aggressive for the strongest, toughest players. And scouting and discovering and signing the standouts is the key to success, to bragging rights for students and alumni, and to coaches keeping their jobs. Finding the best guys for your team seems to be really the name of the game. Today's gospel also seems to be about picking the best folks. In his parables, Jesus's message appears at first to be about which guest has more status or greater honor and therefore is seated at the highest place, probably nearer the host. In that ancient culture, where considerations of honor and shame drove much human behavior, and really still do to some extent today, being asked to move to a lower place at the table would have been a shocking embarrassment. As we read further, though, we begin to understand that Jesus intends to reveal to his listeners and to us through his parable something really important about the nature of God. And Jesus' second parable in our lesson today urges us to widen our vision beyond where a person should sit to consider who we should invite. Forget about inviting only your friends, he says, or those who can improve your social status, or folks who can invite you back and repay you. Instead, expand your circle to include the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. The story is not only about which folks we want, but instead, it's about which folks God wants us to want. Put another way, one author writes, it's about who is included in God's love, and therefore should be included in our love and in our community of faith. At the heavenly banquet, all are invited, and all seats hold equal status. There are no higher and lower places at God's table. Each and every person is one of the best folks. God's imagination and generosity are without limit. Jesus' message, of course, is that we are to act with the same generosity toward all our brothers and sisters. We are called to see with God's eyes and to love with God's heart. Jesus is showing us what it means to be a child of God as both host and guest. Time after time, the author of Luke's gospel emphasizes that Jesus turns our ideas and assumptions about God topsy-turvy, upside down. We got it backward. By way of his parables and his actions, Jesus shows that most of us are wrong about who's in and who's out, who is accepted and who is rejected, who is a saint and who is a sinner. Jesus teaches us again and again that our place in God's kingdom isn't about our status or power or achievements. Rather, it's about God's overwhelming preference for love and mercy. As his disciples, Jesus tells us, we are to take the last place, not the first. We are to be servants. We are to wash one another's feet. We are to see the face of Jesus, our Lord, on the faces of the most despised, the poor and the rejected, those who are without shelter, who are hungry or forgotten. When we truly understand that all God's children have a place at the table, only then will we be able to serve in the way and in the place that God has given each one of us. Then we will know the joy of being who God intends us to be, right here and right now. Here at God's table, each of us is both guest and host. Jesus gives us the example of radical inclusion and generosity. He calls on us to welcome all God's children to this banquet. And that, I believe, is one of the greatest blessings of finding ourselves shoulder to shoulder in this diverse community of Grace Church. In our various ways, we are all poor, broken sinners, undeserving strangers whom God has invited in. And we are called to see and to reach out and to welcome other poor, broken sinners, undeserving strangers into our community. We gather, all of us together, God's best folks, to pray together in community, to raise our voices in thanksgiving for God's grace, to share what we have, and to carry God's merciful healing and love back into the world around us. That, my friends, is our sacred calling. Amen.